professional performance from England in the first T20. So India returning the favour in the second one, winning by 7 wickets, half centuries from Virat Kohli, back in form, and a swashbuckling half century from debutant Ishan Kishan. England rolling down the series now 1-1. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and my friend in London, Daniel Norcross. Daniel, India will always come back from 1-0 down. It's becoming a trend of 2020-2021 from Test cricket now to T20s. It was a very good performance from India. They had answers to the English batting. You can say, in a way, with the bat and the ball, whatever England threw at them, they were able to comprehend. It was almost a reverse of what happened in the first T20.
It was, really. And you know, the Indian bowling was absolutely fantastic. The very key moment in the match for me was the dismissal of Jos Buttler so early on, because of all the England players who would have been able to master those conditions. And they were difficult for England's batters. We saw quite a lot of data come out about the number of false shots they played, how difficult they were finding it to time the ball. The one man who tends to be able to adapt in those circumstances is Jos Buttler, and getting him first ball was absolutely key. We didn't realise it at the time, but I've got to take my hats off to India's bowlers at the death. I mean, there was a point there when England looked like they were going to get to 180 without any trouble at all, which would have kept pressure on India throughout their run chase. And instead, I mean, Shardul Tucker's last over was absolutely superb. He held his nerve. He bowled 6 slower balls. And, you know, that takes a lot of that's a great temperament to do that, because, you know, you start to think, well, what if the batter knows what I'm doing? He's going to take me downtown. But he didn't. He just kept on going with the same method. I thought it was really encouraging for India that all 5 of their bowlers were effective today. It meant that they could now play the kind of lineup that they want to, because they want to get those explosive batters into their middle order. The problem has been, how many overs were they going to get out of Hardik Pandya? You know, he bowled really well today. So, you know, it was a victory, I think, that was mostly won, I'd have to say, with the ball. But wow, how exciting was it to see Ishan Kishan? I mean, we've seen a lot of him in the IPL, but it was just great to see him there on that stage with that many people. Oh, it was fantastic stuff from him today.
Well, let's talk about the bowling, as you highlighted. I also thought that it was the highlight of the game. That's where actually India got the upper hand, undoubtedly, because more than 160-odd, like you mentioned, England were in a chance of getting 180-odd. I thought that would have been par plus 160, just about par on that sort of pick wicket. It was holding up a bit. They had spoken about it at the toss. And of course, due perhaps allowing batting to be a little easier in the second innings, but again, you can't take that away from the Indian bowlers. Let's talk about Shardul Thakur, because I particularly don't like the composition of this current Indian bowling attack. Like I mentioned in the first T20, in the first T20 review, that India usually play with 3 pacers, and now, yes, Hardik is bowling, but it's not really coming out in terms of a proper balanced attack, because do you really need 3 spinners in such conditions? Especially when Jadeja comes back, then you don't really need 3 full-time spinners, because Pandya and Jadeja provide you that pace and spin angle, and they also balance the lower order batting a bit. Now, I'll tell you what the problem with Shardul Thakur's performance is. It's a good performance, like you mentioned. He's bowling 5 or 6 deliveries. He's bowling slow cutters. And for some reason, England were not able to pick it up, because if I was an English batsman, and, you know, it's easy to say when you're watching from the drawing room, but it was a theme of the Indian bowling. They were only bowling off cutters. They were only, even the spinners, there was a decent change of pace from all Indian bowlers. And I thought that the English batsmen could get away with it, because they would say, hang on a minute, every 5 deliveries out of 6, they're bowling slow cutters. They're changing the pace. For some reason, English batsmen were not able to catch on, and I'll ask you why. The problem with this Shardul Thakur tactic is he is perhaps behind, he's definitely behind Bumrah and Bhuvi, also Deepak Chahar. Is he also behind Saini and T. Natarajan? Maybe, maybe not. T. Natarajan is a left-arm pacer, so he definitely brings something different. Saini and Shardul maybe just balanced a bit, because Shardul can bat a bit, but does he really? It just probably will come down to who has the better who has the better IPL season, really, or who is in the better touch of form come September, October. The crux of the matter is I don't see Shardul Thakur getting into the playing 11 once the T20 World Cup starts. So for me, yes, he bowled well, caught those 2 for 29. I predicted he would get 3 for 30, got 2 for 29. Does it help playing him again and again? Yes, it did on the day. Like I said, that off-cutter ploy worked. Will it work in the long run? Are we wasting, or are India wasting opportunities to, say, somebody like a Deepak Chahar who hasn't played for a while? So it's the balance that I'm not seeing in India's bowling at the moment. And again, now I would like to throw you the question. If in India were bowling 5 out of 6 deliveries as slow cutters or slow or change of pace, why weren't the English batsmen able to pick it up better?
Well, I don't know how much it was about picking it up and how much the ball really died in the pitch in that first innings. And we saw it actually a little bit in the first match when India struggled to score. What did they get, 125 or so? It was just really hard to get the ball away. What surprised me, I guess, was that England's batters didn't bat out of their crease, for example.
Yeah.
Come down the wicket at Thakur. That did surprise me. But, you know, you could say it was a failure of English batsmanship. But I've got to say, I think India had a plan which they absolutely rigidly stuck to.
Yes, yes.
And this was what we saw in the first game. England had a plan they absolutely rigidly stuck to. And England today missed a couple of tricks, really. Firstly, they missed the toss. And it's a little concerning how important the toss feels like because the way the pitch played in the second half. But they also missed Mark Wood because, you know, Tom Curran's not had a lot of cricket and he looked really rusty today. It felt like, looking at the first innings, that that was going to be a pitch that would have suited Tom Curran. He's kind of in the Thakur mould, you know. I mean, there's back of the hand and cutters and slower balls. That's exactly his thing. And today, he just didn't look on it. Stokes bowled a poor over, had a bit of a tricky day generally, dropped that absolute sitter in the outfield as well. So, you know, things where England put in pretty much the perfect performance on the first game, loads of things went wrong in this game. And I do think they missed Wood. I think that extra pace really did alarm the Indians in the middle order. The game ran away from them, though, not just with the bat, because they began with the ball perfectly adequately, but it was at the very last over of the power play, India's power play, when Curran came on, Tom Curran. And you sort of think maybe, I mean, I'm a big, big fan of Morgan's captaincy, and hindsight's a wonderful thing, but was that an over maybe for Sam Curran to have bowled? Just to get out of the power play so that when Tom Curran, who's not had a lot of time on the pitch, got to bowl his first over, you know, he'd have fielders out. He didn't. And so huge pressure was put on him. His first one went for 6. But for that, you know, you've got to give props to the enterprise of India's batters. They seized their moments today. I don't know what it tells us too much about both these sides, because as you say, it doesn't feel like these are going to be the lineups we might see in the World T20, because I don't think Tom Curran would be first choice. And I think you're right, I don't think Thakur would be first choice. I think it was great to see Surya Kumar Yadav come into the side. It's great to see Ishan Kishan come into the side, because I think what India really does need to do is use its armory of very dynamic young players that it has got, that has developed in the IPL, and not stick to an old template.
Yeah,
I think where they might now have a selection issue is Rohit Sharma, because he's got to come back in. So does KL Rahul have to go on the back of 2, you know, low-scoring innings, which would be a weird one, because, you know, Rahul is a stalwart at the top of the order. So they'll have to have a conversation about that, because you don't want to be leaving Ishan Kishan out after a day like today. You want to see more of him, I think.
Absolutely. And just before we come to the Indian batting, I would like to mention here, when I was looking at that bowling card, the English bowling card, the first over happened, Sam Curran got KL Rahul with a very clever mix of deliveries. It was almost different to what, you know, somebody like a Shardul Thakur or a Bhuvneshwar Kumar was doing, because they were bowling 5 slower ones and 1 normal pace. And here was Curran, he was bowling normal pace, 5 deliveries and 1 slower one. And the wicket that he got was immediately after the slower one. So it was interesting to see. But right at that point, I was thinking, you know what? You cannot bowl throughout the innings like that. You have to do what India did. You have to get in the slow cutters. they did not start with Adil Rashid. So I sort of understood that because the new ball is hard and it would have, instead of stopping onto the batsman, it would have come easier. So they held back Adil Rashid. Obviously, he didn't have too much say on the game because by the time he did come on to bowl, Ishan Kishan and Virat Kohli were really well set. So it was not an issue there. I thought maybe Ben Stokes could have come a little early on into the attack because he's somebody who can bowl those off cutters, maybe Chris Jordan. So looking at that bowling card, my one thought was, and you know, who of these English bowlers can bowl those off cutters and put India in a fix? Did not happen because Ishan Kishan. Now let's talk about Ishan Kishan. What a revelation. And Daniel, you've covered the last two IPL seasons for BBC doing the commentary. He's looked ready. Ishan Kishan, especially in the last season, he's looked ready. I was always of the thought, and we've discussed this with Bharat Sundaresan on earlier episodes, that, you know, if we had a proper domestic season, a proper Ranji season, Ishan Kishan would be pushing for all three formats. He's playing domestic cricket. He's played the domestic T20. He's played the domestic ODIs, and he's done exceptionally well. One of the scores that he scored in the domestic ODIs was 173. He was opening the batting, so he's got 170 odd in one inning. So he's made use of his opportunities. The hunger is there. The fitness is there. The thinking power is there. The thinking cricket brain is there. And it is no surprise at all for me that Ishan Kishan was given this opportunity and he's taken it with both hands. And as for the problem that you mentioned, we'll come to the Rohit Sharma KL Rahul angle in just a bit. Does that innings, for me, the bigger question is, does that innings end Shikhar Dhawan's international T20 career? That for me is the bigger question. Before I throw it to you, yes, because it's very clear that India want a left-handed opening batsman option. And with Ishan Kishan going there and smashing those runs, and Shikhar Dhawan, somebody who's not your out-and-out smasher at the top, it just changes the dynamics. And to me, I also tweeted this, he's done enough to further confuse the Indian team management. You go.
Well, I agree with all of that. I mean, all I would say is that Shikhar Dhawan is I think he's a terrific player. I've loved watching him since he made his test match debut against Australia. He played some of the most sumptuous shots in a great innings before lunch, smashing it everywhere. He can come back into this side if there's a loss of form.
Yeah.
But it would take a loss of form now because he's certainly not in the top three openers that India would want to pick on form. You're absolutely right. Ishan Kishan, given that left-hand option at the top of the order, is superb. Just, you know, some figures from IPL, is over 500 runs, averaging over 50. The consistency of him, 9 scores, I think it was, over 30 in that tournament.
Yeah.
So he's not somebody who's like, you're hit and miss. You know, England take a slightly different approach. Their openers have often been hit and miss. You get from Roy, 0 or 50. But Kishan is actually, you know, getting himself in. It was noticeable today. His first 11 balls, 12 runs. This was on his debut. He could have been fully pumped up. But he didn't look like that. He looked composed. He looked entirely comfortable in his surroundings. He looked like he knew exactly what he was there to do, what his role was. He looked like he knew what T20 cricket was. And this is the great advantage of the IPL. Players that play in it, they learn the mechanics of T20. Yeah. And it's noticeable. It's noticeable in the England players as well. You know, people like Jofra Archer. It's what you're seeing Jofra Archer bowl is what he bowls in the IPL. What you see Jos Buttler attempt to do, he does in the IPL. Same with Bairstow. This is a fantastic breeding ground. And it means that when young Indian players come in, you don't have to have quite the same anxiety about whether they're going to be able to cut it in a T20 international. Because in many ways, they've been playing as good, if not better quality cricket, playing for a franchise in the IPL, up against numerous terrific overseas bowlers. So, you know, in summary, yes to everything you've said. I just want to see more of him. I love his swagger. Him and Rishabh Pant in the same side is great to watch. Surya Kumar Yadav, I didn't get to see much of, but I've seen plenty of him in the IPL. He's terrific. This is the sort of batting lineup that India will have. You know, we're starting to see now what their world T20 side looks like. The bowling, not so much. And in a way, that was the case for both teams. You know, England's bowling wasn't quite the one that they would want as well.
And fair point there that this is what India's batting side will look like, because Virat Kohli is back scoring runs as well. And, you know, you don't really stop him too much. You don't really talk about bad form when it's about Kohli. He came to the crease today. He was absolutely majestic. He started off, I mean, there's a Virat Kohli playbook. In the last episode, I had talked about different batting and bowling playbooks. But there's a Virat Kohli playbook as well. He'll come to the crease. He'll get a boundary or two. Then he will knock around singles. He's just going to run. Suddenly, he'll be, what, 20 or 15 deliveries. And that's where the platform is set. And that's where he's going to take off from. And he's going to get you a half century or 40 of 27 balls or something like that. That is his regular customary playbook. He's been trying to change his batting a bit. He's been trying to up the tempo, because that's what India have been trying. That was one of the reasons why he got out the way he did. I didn't think especially that Adil Rashid got him out. I think he got out to Adil Rashid. There's a difference. That's what happened in the first T20. Today, it was just about doing things that he has always done, getting those runs under his belt, getting that confidence flowing. Yes, he hasn't had too many hundreds in the last 1.5 years, but it's not about hundreds in T20 cricket. A half century is just as good. You score a half century at number 3, you finish the game. That's what Virat Kohli does. So it was really good to see him bat the way he did. And now maybe he can push on and see, you know, what he can do in terms of upping his run rate, which he probably doesn't need to do if one of the two openers really kicks on like the way Ishan Kishan did today. So, like you mentioned, this is India's batting, getting a semblance of shape. It depends really how they're going to go about it. Yes, go on.
Just one thing on Kohli today, that's a bit technical, was that what I really loved was how he owned the top of off stump today.
Yeah.
His movement across the stumps when he first came in meant that he didn't need to play big shots. So the way he got out to Adil Rashid, trying to open up the offside, hit it up and over, didn't execute the shot. It's a difficult shot to do, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas what he did today was take the top of off stump out of the bowler's armory. He was there on it, and he was just working balls into the onside, getting bat on ball. And, you know, when he does that, he's incredibly difficult to bowl against, incredibly difficult, which was superb. So, yeah, look, a Kohli back in form is not going to please England. But again, I say to you, we predicted at the start of this series, predicted 3-2 England. I predicted 3-2 India.
Yeah.
I think it's feeling like it's going to be that, isn't it?
And It does feel.
And I do want to sort of ask you about the toss as well, because we've seen two games here where the side batting first has batted disappointingly on both occasions.
Yeah.
You know, I think it wasn't just that England scored 164, which may have looked like par. We were kind of trying to read it and understand, is that enough? It was, you know, they weren't able to time it. There were more false shots. I mean, those stats are there. It was quite a scrappy 164, if you can have such a thing.
Yeah.
And then the side that batted second found life much, much easier. So
yeah.
I don't know. Look, we're trying to understand the conditions under bat, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a new stadium, new square, and we don't know what to... So we're learning on the job here, basically.
Absolutely. And I think a little bit of the two tests has carried on into the T20s, because at some points, like you mentioned, we're seeing the ball keep low, but we're also seeing a little bit of turn coming into it. So I think it's an interesting mix. The question that you've put to me is also an intriguing one, because I'm not going to say that it's going to spoil the series for us, but let's look at it from both teams' perspective. England want to win the series here. They are definitely one of the top contenders for the T20 World Cup. So they are going to say, okay, you know what? Whenever we win the toss, we're going to bowl first and we're going to bat second, because obviously the team which is batting second is getting a good opportunity to bat in better conditions thanks to some of the dew. The bigger question for me is concerning India, because India want to experiment a bit. They want to bat first. They want to see if they can challenge themselves to score big runs. Now, they do not have too many T20s remaining in this year. They may play the Asia Cup. They may play against South Africa. There's talk that the New Zealand tour might be split and New Zealand might play their T20s before the T20 World Cup to give India a bit of practice. Lots in the air, but they would want to do some more experimentation during these remaining 3 matches. So will India, knowing that the series is still online, win the toss and opt to bat first. So that for me is an interesting mix. I still don't want to say that the toss is having an influence on the series just yet. I think maybe another different pitch, maybe a third different pitch, and we might get to see something different. But now I think we should shift our focus to what's going to happen. Let me begin by saying that you asked me a question about KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma that I did not answer earlier. For me, that is the only question mark. I don't think there's much to change in the third OD, in the third T20. Yes, Rohit Sharma is slated for a comeback. Somebody tweeted to me and said, you know what, it's maybe Virat Kohli's turn to rest for the next two T20s and Rohit Sharma can captain. Wouldn't that be interesting? But I think, yes, Ishan Kishan has had a great outing. I think
it won't happen.
It won't happen. So yeah, I mean, Ishan Kishan has had a great outing, but I think it's time for him to sit on the bench. You can't drop KL Rahul because he's not played cricket since December. When you have Rohit and Rahul available, they have to be your first choice T20 openers. Let's give Rahul another match. Let's give him an opportunity to get going. Let's get Rohit Sharma in at the other end. Let's see what this actual lineup can really do. So just one change for me in the next game. Shardul Thakur, yes, I said, yes, he's played well. So maybe we'll keep him for one more game. But I would really like to see Deepak Chahar or Navdeep Saini coming in. And definitely, I would like to see India play three proper paces, but given the conditions, they might retain the same bowling combination. You tell me, where do you see England going from here in the next T20? What could they look to change up? Maybe bring back Mark Wood if he is fit again?
Well, I think actually Moeen Ali as well is one that they've really got to be looking at here. There's quite a few left-handers and important left-handers in India's lineup, and Moeen does bowl in the power play, which gives Morgan an extra option. Often first or second, we know what he can do with that. If they bring him in, if he did come in, it would probably be for Sam Curran. If you imagined a kind of a perfect England 11 for me, would probably be Mark Wood and Moeen Ali in for the Curran brothers. But that's harsh on Sam Curran, who's shown, you know, look, he knows what he's doing. I don't think it's too much of a bother for England. It's going to depend on how they read the pitch when they come to see it in the next ODI. And the thing is, so far, England haven't read the pitches awfully well on this entire Indian tour, both Test and to a degree T20. But, you know, with Mark Wood, it was just a bruised heel, we're being told. So if he's fine in a couple of days' time, I would have been there again. The batting today, there's nothing to change. The personnel are the right personnel. They didn't fire today, I think it did actually come down, looking back on it, that ball from Bhuvneshwar Kumar clipping the top of leg stump that got rid of Josh Butler, that really, really did take out, I guess, England's most ideal batter on that pitch against that attack.
Just very quickly, do you think Josh Butler, I mean, they usually open with Jason Roy and Johnny Bairstow. Considering how the pitches are, do you think they will consider bringing Butler now back into the middle order?
No, I don't think they will. I mean, I think they have thought about it, but I think they want to go with this. They've been determined to have Butler up the top because they feel Morgan has generally been batting further down in the role that Josh Butler would do if he wasn't opening, because Butler wouldn't come in three. Malan would always come in three. So Butler would probably be at five or six. They know just how destructive he can be. So they want to give him as many balls as possible. That's the theory they're working with. It's a 50-50, isn't it? Because you can see that England have got other options at the top of the order. They've got Johnny Bairstow who could open. They have, quite frankly, the name that is never mentioned, Alex Hales, who's got a better T20 record than any of the others in international cricket. So, I mean, it's a good question you ask, but I'm pretty sure that we will see Butler opening for all five matches in this series.
Well, it's an intriguing mix because both sides have a series to win against, you know, both of them top contenders for the World Cup. So it's always a big boost when you win a series like this against the top contenders of an upcoming World Cup. So like I said, it's an intriguing mix. Both of them want to win the series, but at the same time, both of them want to experiment with a few options here and there as well. Not to mention the Ahmedabad pitch has had us bamboozled since the last month or so. We'll be back after the third T20 with more reviews and thoughts from Delhi and London. Until then, it's Chetan Narula and Daniel Norcross saying goodbye.
Goodbye.